In 4 years, the number of people attending the Web Summit in Dublin has grown from 400 to 22,000. The founder, Paddy Cosgrave, told journalists how he'd persuaded the creators of Twitter and Skype to attend the first edition by video calling them from the bedroom of a rented house he shared with four friends from college. This year, startups from over 70 countries were present at Europe's biggest tech meeting. Evidence that away from the Californian headquarters of many industry leaders, technology startups are flourishing.
The world outside of Silicon Valley is much more vibrant, I think, than sometimes Silicon Valley realized. That Silicon Valley really has begun to kind of erupt all over the world. That you're seeing incredible companies emerge from, you know, cities like Helsinki that aren't all that big, but have become incredibly dominant in gaming. You know, about 52,000 startups began the application process to exhibit. We talked to between, I think, 13 and 14,000 startups, and we selected 2,150. The kind of barriers to entry are only as high as the quality of startups that apply.
About 100 French startups were in Dublin, exhibiting under the government-supported French Tech banner. Raphael Cherrier, CEO of QSIT, says his company aims to measure the pulse of a city by offering their services to transport providers. He says QSIT can now predict 12 hours in advance how many rental bikes will be in docking stations in cities like Bordeaux.
For example, in a lot of cities in the world, there are bike share systems. There is one in Dublin, there is one in Paris, and today there is more than 700 cities in the world who have bike share systems, and it's growing very fast. But what we do is we get a lot of data about these systems, but also about weather, about public transportation failure, and we anticipate how the network will evolve.
Cristina Palacios of Spain was promoting FairChanges.com, something she describes as a pro-human rights marketplace. Environmentally friendly producers list their services on the website and ship products directly to buyers. FairChanges use a small part of the profits to make their own design collections with people at risk of social exclusion. A big goal of the organisation is to help eliminate slavery and child labour from the supply chain. Palacios believes that change is possible, pointing out that since the economic crisis began, the use of fair trade products has increased by a third.
Crisis decreases our power of consumption, but increases our sensibility. And we are really seeing the effects of global warming, and we're making some natural species disappear. And we know that there are alternatives. There are thousands of sustainable creators. What about gathering them together and giving them visibility?
Palacios says that by making small changes to our everyday consumption, every one of us can make a difference. Mark Rodden, RFI, Dublin.